So we're still continuing in our series on Lord's Supper, on the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to change it up a little bit. And I love that video from the families. I want to thank all the families for doing that little video compilation of the Lord's Prayer. And I hope that you've been saying the Lord's Prayer. But I want to switch gears for just a few minutes, and we're going to actually read from Luke 24, starting in verse 13 and going to verse 35. Now, it is a long prayer. It is a long verse. So what I'm going to do is I've got the first few verses and the last few verses. Other than that, you're probably going to need to follow along in your Bible. So if you have a Bible and you're at home, stand with me as we read Luke 24, starting in verse 13. Now, on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into the glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with him. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread." Let's say a prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. This morning of all mornings, Lord, we remember in history that your son rose from the dead, that your son did the impossible, that your son came out of a grave and walked among us. And today, Lord, we celebrate that. Today, Lord, we celebrate that you are the God who has conquered death through your Son, that you are the God who gives us that same spirit that conquers death. And so, Lord, I pray now that that same spirit work inside of our opened hearts and our open minds to transform us more into your likeness. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. You know, I'm reminded during this time as we begin of this quote from Frederick Bucher. And he says this, "The worst isn't the last thing about the world. It's the next to last thing. The last thing is the best. It's the power from on high that comes down to the world like a hidden spring." Can you believe it? The last best thing is the laughing deep in the hearts of the saints, sometimes our hearts even. Yes, you are terribly loved and forgiven. Yes, you are healed. All is well. It's easy to think that the worst is around us, is it not? I mean, look at how we're celebrating Easter today. It's not where we thought we'd be celebrating Easter 30 days ago. I mean, for many of us, for all of us, this is the first time that we probably haven't been around all of our family for Easter. And some will actually be watching with their families. I know here in a few minutes I'll be going and celebrating Easter lunch with my family. But there are others that we need to remember who are by themselves today. There are others who will be celebrating Easter for the first time by themselves, not surrounded by family. And so it's easy for us to look around at our situation and see darkness. It's easy with the news reports and the images to see the worst, to believe, as Buchner says, this is the last thing. Because for most of us, it is the last thing that we see and we hear before we go to sleep. Let's be honest. Who in here finishes with the news at night? Who in here looks at a few, maybe, I don't know, news reports at night before you go to bed? It is, for a lot of us, the last thing we see and hear before we go to bed. And it's also the first thing we see and hear when we wake up in the morning. So when we read the text of Luke 24, we can imagine these travelers on the road as about the last thing that they saw in their minds. The death of Jesus is still rattling around in their heads. We noticed that they were shaken by it. It was all that they could talk about during their journey home from Jerusalem. And if you think about it, like the travelers, how much have you been talking about COVID-19 over the last few weeks? How much has it dominated your conversation? It feels as if death has a grip on us. It feels as if this COVID-19, this virus, lingers behind us. And while we do our best to try to forget it, and maybe as Chris is right, we may watch a TV show here, we may watch a series there in order to forget about it, we still go to bed with the last thing on our minds being COVID-19. There are still moments of fear and doubt and despair. And we try to keep it from creeping in, but we can't. The darkness feels powerful right now. It feels consuming. It feels overwhelming. You may even find yourself wondering, is this it? Is this how it's going to be from here on out? Will the virus have the last word in our lives? You can imagine these two travelers on the road asking the same type of questions. Is this it? Has Rome won again? Has death had the final word with this man named Jesus of Nazareth who we thought would bring redemption for Israel? You can imagine in their questions, maybe the same that we're asking, where is God in all this? What is the plan? Last week we spoke of God's will in the Lord's Prayer. We spoke the good news that is God's will, that God's will is greater than our will. But right now, today, I got some questions. I got some questions I need answered, Lord. And it's in these questions that we still come back to the Lord's Prayer. And not just the Lord's Prayer, but that part in the Lord's Prayer that talks about bread. Give us today our daily bread. Bread. You know, lately my daughter, since she's been home, has decided to become a bread maker. And she makes really good bread. In fact, we're 2 weeks in, she's made 4 loaves. And I've eaten most of it. She's a good bread maker. We love bread. Bread's also been somewhat hard to find. I don't know if you've been in the stores lately. But bread is important. It gives us sustenance. It's one of those things that fills our belly and gives us energy for the day. We need bread. And we think about bread, think of food. We need food to live. And as one writer says, and I love what he says here, he says, the act of asking for bread is for us a daily reminder that our lives, like our bread, are gifts from God. Daily we are dependent upon God. If we look at the sentence that we read in this prayer, give us today, notice who we're asking to give us bread. We are dependent on God. We are reminded with this sentence that with this ask in our prayers, that our life is dependent on the good gifts of God. And we notice this isn't a weekly thing or a monthly thing. This is a daily thing. It's every day. Give us today our daily bread is kind of our cry deep in our soul of saying, this is what we need in our daily desires. This is what we want. Daily, we are dependent on the goodness of God. Daily, we are in search of God's provisions. And as these two travelers walk the road and as they run into a stranger, and a stranger also walking on the road looks at them and asks them, why are they so distraught as we think about all this? They're walking on the road. They run into this guy, and this guy looks at him and says, what are you so stressed for? Why do you look so downtrodden? It would almost be the same reaction if someone today asked us why we were so stressed. What's going on in your life? And we would probably ask the same question that is asked by the travelers to the stranger in 24:18. Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in the last 3 days? Are you the only person in the country who has not heard the phrases social distancing or COVID-19 or coronavirus? What, have you been living under a rock? These travelers are thinking that. And the travelers then told the strangers what has been going on. They're telling them the last things they saw. Here's what's been going on the last 3 days in Jerusalem. The one they believed in, the one they were hoping in, the one they thought was the Messiah. And we read that in 21 when it says, but we had hoped. Notice that word. You can hear as they talk to the stranger, who we know is Jesus in reading the text, but as they talk to the stranger, you can hear their hope and you can hear their despair. You can hear in their words to Jesus their daily desires of the hope that the kingdom of God was coming near, or as we prayed in the Lord's Prayer, to bring kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. You could hear that hope in their words. They thought Jesus would be it. They thought that Jesus was the Messiah that, as it says in Psalms 23, would prepare the banquet table in the presence of our enemies. Or they thought Jesus was going to be following in the words of the prophet Isaiah. They believed that he was the one who would prepare the banquet table for them. When God hears the cries of the people, they thought Jesus was the one who heard the cries of the people. When God brought them out of Egypt, God would bring them out of Rome. They thought God was, this was the one who would bring them manna to eat in the desert. That this is the man who would finally provide them their daily bread as God has. They were hoping to meet God, to see God's action in the coming kingdom through Jesus. And what they're left with in their 7-mile walk back to their town is the question, what if and why? And it's in the middle of what if. It's in the middle of this darkness of what if. It's this middle of the darkness and despair of scratching their heads and asking why. A stranger appears and has the audacity in verse 25 to say, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe what all the prophets have declared. Now, if we think about it, that is an audacious statement in this moment. Imagine that statement. How foolish you are. Two guys didn't despair about what happened to Jesus, and this one person says, you're missing the point. You're missing what's going on here. You're missing what's happening. An audacious statement. But let's think about this. Resurrection is an audacious event. Resurrection catches us off guard. Resurrection reminds us that we are not in control as we've been praying the last 5 weeks of the Lord's Prayer. Easter comes in and reminds us of our most basic and daily desires. The desire that God is paying attention. The desire that God is working around us. Easter breaks into the world and says, the cross, the tomb, coronavirus, despair, social isolation, death does not have the last word. Easter says, I am the last word. it is the last thing. Between Friday and Sunday, we wait, we wait, we wait, and we hope. We wait and we hope and we walk along our roads from Friday to Sunday. We walk the road between Friday and Sunday. And as we walk, we have the prayer of Jesus on our lips. And we're praying to God that God will show up, that God will provide, that God will be present when we say, "Give us today our daily bread." And it's in praying this that we remind ourselves of our hope that God will vindicate us, that God is for us, that God has not abandoned us. When Friday came, present seemed impossible. When Friday came, hope seemed lost. When Friday came, the sustenance of God, the daily bread of God, seemed to dry up and become stale. We are hungry people on Friday. We are yearning for the bread of life on Friday. Give us today our daily bread is what we pray on Friday. It's what we pray yesterday on Saturday. All of our hopes, all of our words is that God is not finished. And we realize that when we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," that they are subversive words from Friday to Sunday, because they are the words that keep us moving forward, that keep us looking towards the dawn on Sunday morning. They are the prayerful words that say, while Friday came, Sunday is just around the corner. Our daily bread is the hope that Jesus, the stranger to the travelers on the Emmaus roads, that his words are real, they are truthful, and they burn in our hearts today. That God will continue to provide. That God's love is greater than the darkness of Friday, or God's love is greater than a virus that showed up 30 days ago. In the middle of the pain, God is present where the travelers need God to be, on a road going home. Easter is where we need it for each of us today. Easter is today, and we needed it for today, because in our despair, in our pain, in our fear, in our questions, and in our homes, when the travelers' hearts were burning on that Sunday, notice where their eyes were opened up. We see it in 24:30. It is when they broke bread. Easter comes when we need it the most. Easter comes in our darkness, and Easter will come today when you break bread with your family. When we broke bread today, the bread of life breaks forth into our hearts. Our daily bread is needed because in Easter we realize that we cannot sustain ourselves. Only God can sustain us through his power. Only God's promises are strong enough and great enough to overpower the darkness of fear and death. Our daily bread comes once again when we need it the most. Our hands are empty and they are outstretched, wondering where our hope will come from. And we wake up today hungry. We wake up today hungry for the kingdom, hungry for the darkness not to win. We wake up today hungry for the daily bread, and it's in our hunger and in our outstretched hands, in our lostness, that God still sustains us today in the greatest story ever told. It's Easter. The bread of life has come. The bread of life has come to fill you. It has come to sustain you. Let us, in our breaking of bread, have our eyes open to the coming of the King. Let us eat today with one another and say, like the disciples on the Emmaus Road, "The Lord has risen and he has appeared." The daily bread we are dependent on is present. It is a promise keeper. It is good, and it is greater than any bread you can eat. Our bread of life is the last word, and it is good. And so today I tell you, the storms have passed. The darkness has not won. So what I'm going to encourage you to do right now, throw open the shutters of your home, lift up the windows, let the light in, because the light has overcome the darkness. Joy, love, and life are the last word, and that is my prayer for you today, that today of all Easters, this Easter became one of the most important Easters, because in our moment, it reminds us that light has come in, and the virus does not have the last word. It is only the second to last thing. Resurrection is the last word. I pray today, as you break bread with your families over dinner, that your eyes are open to the bread of life that has walked into this world, the bread of life who was not defeated by a power, by the cross, or by anything else, but he's come into your life today. If you have a need, you can make a phone call. We hope you have a good Easter. We hope you have an enjoyable Easter. And what I will tell you this is, I know that we had this online. We talked about this reverse Easter egg hunt. I hope everyone does that. Get some, print them off. And if you don't have a printer, we may still have some here at the church you can get on the doors. But do that. And what I'm going to tell you is, brighten up your neighborhood a little bit. Go put them on mailboxes. Let people see the love of Jesus today, because today we need to be reminded that the bread of life has come, and the bread of life is taking care of us, and the bread of life is fulfilling us. We love you guys. We're praying for y'all. If you need anything, holler at us.